Man 1. Did your apprenticeship prepare you for service in the Royal Naval Air Service?
Oh, yes, I definitely think so. I think I should first say that I was born on the 12th of March 1896 at Brightonsea in Essex. Educated at the local Wesleyan School, went to the Technical College evenings, cycling to Colchester, and private tuition at Dr. Flood's also twice a week.
This was in addition to your apprenticeship?
Well, what actually happened was, in 1910, I was apprenticed yacht and boat builder 7 years to Robert Aldous, later Aldous Limited, business yacht, ship and boat builders. My father would not have me indentured, as this would tie one to a job.
Wouldn't, though you were indentured, wouldn't that guarantee you security later?
It would do.
Think so?
Yes, it would do, but the point is that you might be in the wrong place for 7 years. And my father had seen cases, holding a supervisory position in the shipyard, of this happening.
So that he worked in the shipyard himself,
did he? Yes. Oh, yes, he worked in the shipyard himself. He was the supervisory foreman and lossman at the time.
Mm-hmm. Did that involve having to make models of ships that might be built?
He did,
mm-hmm.
Yes. He made models of yachts. If the owner wanted a model of a yacht that had been built, then he'd make a half model to hang on the wall of his the owner's studio, or study, I should say, and or a full model that could be sailed in the yachting pond or anything like that.
They were all private yachts that were built at all.
Yes, there were very few. I mean, we didn't get many orders. It was a smallish shipyard, actually. We built fishing boats for the fleets also. And when the war started, we went on to pontoons for the army. Mm-hmm. That was on the small boat building side. Well, as I said, in 1910, I was apprenticed to this firm. Their business was yacht, ship and boat builders. And there was some talk at the time about a premium of 25 guineas. Whether my father worked this out on his models or whether he paid it, I don't know, or whether it was dropped. I served from 29th of the 3rd, 1910, to 23rd of the 6th, 1915. That's just over 5 years. When I broke away to join the colours.
Were you, besides doing your apprenticeship and at the Technical College, did you also join the Boy Scouts?
Oh, yes, yes. I joined the Boy Scouts early on, actually. Either at the latter part of 1909 or the beginning of 10. I have no record now, but it was about that time. And when I joined in 1915, I was then Assistant Scoutmaster.
Did you find that what you learned in the Scouts of use in later life, service life?
Oh, absolutely, yes, yes. I knew my semaphore, Morse, although not very speedy, and drill. And I found that a tremendous help. Where I saw other people struggling, I was able to take it easy and smarten myself up a bit, of course. I was in the Navy, and, a great help, great help.
When the war began, were the Scouts employed on any sort of war work?
Oh, yes, yes. At the outbreak of the 1914 war, the Coast Guards had to join their depots. We had a Chief Coast Guard and a number of Coast Guards in Coast Guards Row, as it was called, and they were called up as they were on the reserve for their depots for ships and so on. And that left only the Chief Coast Guard branch, who was due for retirement, actually, it served his, more or less his time. So the scouts of our troop took over their duties, and for 3 weeks, with another patrol leader, I was a patrol leader then, with another patrol leader and a number of scouts, we lived in the Martella Tower on St. Nose of Stone, carrying out the normal duties of the Coast Guard.
Was the Martello Tower armed?
No, no.
They didn't have any guns there.
No, no, we had no guns, but the Royal Naval Reserve batteries were outside where they used to be instructed in the use of the cannon and so on. But there actually were no arms on the Martella Tower at all. And our duties consisted movements of ships in and out of the River Cone, patrolling approximately 2 miles to the next Martella Tower, which is situated at Point Clear.
Did you find any mines or anything else on the beach during your patrols?
No, we never found any mines. On one occasion we found a number of eel skins. Looked perfectly good on the beach and in the water, but when we attempted to lift them, they simply broke away. Must have been in the sea for a long, long time.
Did your scoutmaster, did the senior scouting organizer in the area have any connection with the services or with the Navy, particularly?
Yes, he had a. His name was Pitt, and he had a brother, Commander Pitt, in the Navy.
Had there been any recruiting drives in the area for the Army, or had you wanted to join the Army by this time?
I wanted to join one of the service, the Navy if possible, and on one occasion a recruiting team was sent to Brightonsea from Colchester, which was a garrison town. It consisted, as far as I can remember, of a major, a sergeant who had ribbons from his cap, red, white and blue, and a few others. Four of the apprentices, including myself, volunteered with a number of other young men, mostly yachtsmen who had returned from the yachting season and were joining up in any case. And after the recruiting meeting finished, which was held on our lower green, we were taken to Curtis the chemist. And at the back of his shop were examined by the military doctor and accepted, the four of us. However, somebody notified the general manager of our shipyard, and he immediately let off a blast at Colchester when he could get those responsible, and stopped us from going because we were already on war service and were badged. We had a badge in our lapel to state this was so. So that was our first attempt to join. And I was always afraid that one thing, that as I was a tall lad, that I might get a white feather. The ladies were running around, the women running around with white feathers. If they had somebody probably in the services and they decided that somebody else's son ought to be there. And so I was keen to get away, and I felt it my duty anyway. Everybody had said it would only last 6 months, but it had now gone beyond that, and it looked as though it might be quite a bit longer.
Did William Pitt suggest the Royal Naval Air Service to you?
Yes. Yes, his brother had told him about the Royal Naval Air Service, that this was the new branch of the Royal Navy, and that they were asking for mechanics in certain trades who been apprenticed in certain trades with about 5 years apprenticeship to join, as they wanted to expand it as the war was going on. And so he gave me the information, which and also the place to write to. So as far as my scoutmaster, William Pitt, was concerned, that's as far as he went, other than to give me a character. He gave me a character when required, because I should, and also stated that I had been at the shipyard. This was also the same with the foreman boat builder. He gave me a character, and that I had served under him as a boat builder, because I knew I shouldn't get anything from the firm, as they wanted to retain me.
Was your family also opposed to your joining up?
No, my family were not, although they were religious, they were not really opposed. They only wanted me to make certain that I was doing the right thing. And when I insisted that I wanted to go, there was no further trouble.
Was there much of a reaction from your firm when you announced what you had done?
Oh, yes. My father, you see, actually, I wrote away to Hendon, is where the address was, and I received a reply to say that they, when they required somebody with my trade, they'd let me know. Well, it was only a few days after, before I got this notification. And with the notification were papers that I had to take to the Chief Coast Guard branch. This I'd done in the normal way. He was a bit peeved because, as I said before, he was on the point of retiring, and the general manager of the shipyard had promised him a timekeeper's job or something there, so he didn't really want to be involved with me breaking away. Anyway, he couldn't do anything about it. Other than give me an educational test, he took my height. I was the tallest lad that had left Brighton Sea during his period of office. The educational tests were satisfactory. We then went down to the doctor, young Dr. Ling. He examined me. This was satisfactory. And my father then insisted, as he was supervisory foreman and lossman, and it was according to his principle, at this particular shipyard, he was supervisory foreman and lossman, that I gave notice direct to the general manager. He then would sign my papers, as I was under 21. So with the paperwork and travelling voucher, I was shown into the general manager's office by his secretary to wait his arrival.
Where had he been?
He'd been to lunch, and an extended lunch, as it happened. When I told him, he was furious and said he would get me out of any service as I was already on war work. He had once before, as I said, stopped us from joining the county regiment. Anyway, I took my war service badge, threw it on his desk, then left. I saw my father, told him what had happened. He signed my papers, and I caught the train to London. I must say here that my father asked me again if I really wished to go. I was late in getting to London after all this, so I stayed the night at my uncle's as he was a member of the Metropolitan Police Force. The next day I arrived at Hendon, found others waiting around, reported to the office, and was taken by a rating before a commander with a PO either side. One PO read my papers and submitted them to the commander, who studied them. Then, looking up at me, he said, "Are you a bloody German?" At first, I was speechless, then furious. Then I told him I was not and could trace my family well back. He said something like, "All right, I was only going by your name." I was afterwards taken out across the yard to another hangar to have a trade test given by a WO, warrant officer.
It was as a result of this trade test that the WO recommended you be a leading mechanic, was it?
Yes, oh yes, definitely. When I arrived there, this warrant officer moaned because my trade was not one he knew, anything about, and pointed out different ones undergoing tests at benches all around, telling me what trades they were. "And now I have a yacht and boat builder," he said. However, we discussed the position, and he decided to give me a piece of wood to square and to demonstrate how to use a file. This done, he asked me how I would build a boat. I explained to him in detail from the keel to the finish. He was delighted and asked me to explain, for his own information, certain terms I had used. After writing his report and with the rest of the papers, back we go to the commander, to whom he gave his report and recommended.